Good morning, everyone. Siskiyou Local Agency Formation Commission is now in session. It is 9 a.m. Commissioner Baker, would you lead us in the pledge?
Sure.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, can we have roll call, please?
Commissioner Harkness?
Here.
Commissioner Mazzoni?
Here.
Commissioner Baker?
Here.
Commissioner Valenzuela?
I'm here.
Chair Ogren?
Present.
Thank you.
Just so we all know, most of our mics don't work, so we do have to yell at each other. It's a little cathartic at times. Other times, just ask us to speak up if we need to, or be quiet if we need to. We need to have the approval of the minutes from May 14th of 2024.
Move to approve.
Thank you.
Second.
All right. We want to do a roll call, or are we just going to?
Please. Well, Planning Commission just does voice vote, so.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That passes. On to item four, unscheduled appearances. Please note this time is allowed for information from the public to the Local Agency Formation Commission. No action will be taken on matters presented at this time. A maximum of 5 minutes will be allowed for each person wishing to speak. Are these for
the speaker cards for
items, or are these going to go now? Do you guys want to speak during
the item?
Okay. So we'll wait. Do we have anybody in the house for public comment, unscheduled appearances? Nobody? And we are not online. Perfect. Okay, moving along. Conflict of interest declaration. We have that already posted, right? We don't have to deal with that. Item six, presentation of documents. All items presented to LAFCO during a public hearing become a permanent part of the record. 12 copies of any information presented to the commission should be given to the clerk of the commission for distribution to the commissioners. In order to obtain an accurate record of the testimony, please address to the commission at the speaking table and clearly introduce yourself with your full name and address. Your address will not be included in the minutes of the meeting. A maximum of 5 minutes per speaker will be given so that all interested parties will have an opportunity to address the commission. Item seven, availability of public records. All public records related to an open session item on this agenda which are not exempt from disclosure pursuant to the California Public Records Act that are distributed to a majority of the legislative body will be available for public inspection at 806 South Main Street, Wairika, California, 96097, at the same time that the public records are distributed or made available to the members of the legislative body. All project documents are on file at the LAFCO office within the Siskiyou County Community Development Department at 806 South Main Street, Wairika, California, 96097, and available for public review. Public hearing protocol. Do I need to read the whole protocol since it's listed? Perfect.
No.
I know. And item nine, changes to the agenda items are considered and consideration of the agenda items to be continued. We don't have a public hearing today. Correct?
The agenda item one is a public hearing, correct, Rachel?
Yes.
Yes.
It is. New business. Okay. Siskiyou County LAFCO Fire Protection Municipal Service Review and Sphere of Influence, MSR, SOI, Update, Potential Action. Siskiyou County LAFCO will consider and adopt the Fire Protection Municipal Service Review, MSR, and Sphere of Influence, SOI, update. This review encompasses the city's fire protection districts, community service districts, hose companies, zones of increased benefit, and county service areas. The purpose of this MSR is to perform a comprehensive update and review of the current service levels provided by the fire service providers in the county. Do you want to go? You want to go.
Rachel.
Rachel Jarab, Deputy Executive Officer for LAFCO.
Okay, before we start this, do we want to open the hearing first?
No, we're going to do a staff report, a PowerPoint presentation, do some discussion, open the public hearing, close the public hearing, and then continue discussion is generally the way that we will follow.
Okay.
So at this point, I'm here with our contractors, Jill and Brandon with RSG. They have a PowerPoint presentation that is, if I can get it open. They have a PowerPoint presentation for you guys. And what we can do is, if you have questions during the slideshow, please feel free to stop and we can discuss it. I know that with the conversation with one of you yesterday, there were some questions about on a map if there were some borders that were coterminous with each other, so it was difficult to see. So if you have any questions, please just speak up and we can make sure that everybody understands the borders that are being discussed as part of this project. But in general, the staff report lays out the history of this. We started this several years ago talking about the need to update the MSR and SOI for the fire districts in Siskiyou County. The last time this was done comprehensively was in 2006, so it is pretty overdue for getting it done, especially considering the environment that we're in these days with all of the fires that we have been having over the past decade or so. So at this point, they are proposing some recommendations as far as updates to the sphere of influence for all of the fire protection districts in the county. Not all of them will have changes that are proposed. Some of them just have a municipal service review that are associated with it. Specifically, the fire protection districts will tend to have both. However, hose companies, volunteer companies, and the like, those are not official districts that have sphere of influences. So those do not have any sphere of influences proposed or changed because they don't exist. They're not something that are considered for hose companies and the like. It's just the fire protection districts and the community services districts in the cities that have sphere of influences that we're looking at as part of this project. Any questions at this point before we get started? All right, you want to go ahead?
Sure. Good morning, Brandon Fender. I'm with RSG. This is my colleague, Jill. We are a consultant to the county, to LAFCO. We do municipal service reviews, we do feasibility studies, annexations. RSG recently did California's latest incorporation. So we're involved in LAFCO statewide, and we're involved in a variety of different projects. Fire is uniquely interesting. Obviously, it's very important to Siskiyou County. I'm going to go through sort of a overview of the municipal service review process. I'm going to hand it to Jill to discuss municipal service review determinations, some of the key determinations. Then it'll come back to me for the SOI recommendations. We have 101 slides. I don't know if we need to go through all of them. We'll go through the key determinations. We have a couple slides on every district, so if you want to focus in on a specific area, we can stop there and do that, specifically focus on those districts. Alternatively, if you want to visit every district, we can go through every slide and discuss that separately. So it's sort of like at the your discretion. But we'll do the key determinations, we'll talk about that, and we'll go from there. And then at the end of the slide deck, we have a number of changes that we're proposing to be made to what will become the final MSR and SOI recommendations. So we'll go through those in detail. Some of that was based on public comments, some of that came from staff, and there was one correction that we caught along the way. And like Rachel said, if you have any questions, feel free to stop me or Jill. I already mentioned RSG and what we do. I think it's important to point out here, and I also want to acknowledge, before I go on from that point, staff's involvement. All of the districts were very involved. I'll mention in a few minutes that we interviewed every district, so we did have an opportunity to talk with even the small districts, the volunteer and fire host companies. So we did talk with everybody as a part of this process. And then our sub-consultant, PlanWest, is not here today, but they helped with the GIS, the mapping. They were involved in all of the interviews, and they were coordinating with us throughout the process, so I do want to acknowledge that. As you can see here, we began data collection in 2022, so this is the third fire season that we're entering as part of this MSR process. We did agency interviews, date back to 2022, early 2023. We circulated the first draft in June 2024. It was published to LAFCO's website in August, over a month ago, and then here we are today for the public hearing. These are required by CKH, Cortese-Knox-Hertzberg Act. So these are the municipal service review. These are the determinations that need to be made in every MSR. This is by state law. And then same for the SOI update and SOI recommendations. So we address this for every district. Like Rachel said, the host companies, the volunteer districts, do not have SOIs. So we did not do SOI recommendations for those districts. Next slide. This is big picture approach, our approach to MSRs. So stakeholder interviews, that's the first bullet because it's, in my opinion, one of the most important pieces. We spoke with fire chiefs and board of directors, key staff members at each of the districts to understand their challenges, where they're responding to calls. So for every district, we reviewed over a Zoom call a map of their district boundaries, their existing spheres of influence, where they are. We kind of went around the entire boundary and they described where they're responding to calls to get an idea of what the spheres of influence should be. Because like Rachel said, it hasn't been updated in a very long time. They're responding to calls and development has happened beyond their boundaries in many cases. So they're responding to calls that's, you know, in some cases, very far beyond their existing boundaries. So that was a key part of the interviews. Data analysis and collection. So we rely both on public documents that are published by each agency and district. That's audits and budgets, the county's fire annual report. We used state sources, Department of Finance, Census. We used every publicly available piece of information that we could accumulate to develop this MSR. Like I said, there was GIS mapping. There was a lot of very detailed GIS discussions about specific areas where calls are being responded to. Our service review, so we collected information about the scope of services that each agency provides, and then the fiscal review, I kind of already mentioned that, city and budgets, and then the city budgets and audits, and then the state controller's office. For districts that didn't have audits and budgets, we relied on the state controller's office. There's a financial transactions report that the state publishes. It's all public information, but where we did not have budgets and audits, we relied on the SCO data. I'm gonna pass it to Jill while I catch my breath, and she'll discuss the key MSR determinations.
So this next section of the report will discuss some of the key findings countywide that we saw across all fire agencies, and we wanted to highlight a few that we thought were particularly relevant. So starting with growth in population projections, the California Department of Finance estimates that the population of Siskiyou County is currently declining, and it's expected to continue to decline for the next 20 years or so at a rate of about 1/3%. This was corroborated by fire agencies across the county who saw those declines in their service areas, with most attributing these population trends to high cost of living in the county, lack of job opportunities, as well as an aging population. The aging population countywide was also attributed to an increase in medical calls for service across the county. The next set of determinations were in relation to the present and planned capacity of public facilities, as well as an adequacy of public services. So this touches on stations, overall service deliveries, and trends that we've noticed. So the vast majority of fire protection service providers noted deficiencies related to their public facilities. We saw this come up a lot with a lack of space for modern equipment in current bay apparatus bays. And then as well as no common or sleeping quarters were also noted. A number of fire protection service providers in the county do have sleeper programs offered, where volunteer firefighters sleep and live at the stations, and they train and respond to calls for service. Based on our operations and from the narrative provided by the fire agencies, these service providers typically have a greater capacity to respond to calls for service, generally have greater recruitment success, and experience less volunteer turnover. And then one data point that we reference in the report is based on calls for service data that's included in the annual report that's produced for each fire department in Siskiyou County. And what came up a lot in our interviews speaking with department staff across the county was that annual reports do not include calls for service outside of district boundaries. This is important because most departments have mutual and automatic aid agreements with neighboring agencies, which means that annual reports might be under reporting call volume. It might not be an accurate representation of current service load. For future annual reports, recommendation could be that fire departments are provided with this data prior to publication so that they have an opportunity to verify or correct this information. Another observation was aging fire apparatus and equipment across the county. Most fire agencies noted that they're unable to update their equipment on a regular basis due to inadequate budgets, particularly capital outlay budgets. So typically they're updating equipment on an as-needed basis. Lastly, fire agencies continue to experience recruitment challenges. We saw that across the county. Agencies attributed these challenges to increased time demands associated with volunteer positions, more rigorous training requirements that have been established, distance from job and housing opportunities for younger volunteers, as well as distance from the College of the Siskiyous, where we see that younger volunteers typically tend to train and prefer volunteer fire departments that do have those programs established with the college. Our next section here will talk about the financial ability to provide services. And just as an overview, typically fire-related district funding sources can be parcel taxes or special assessments established on parcels within the districts or cities, fees for services, and then there's one-time grants, reimbursement for suppressing larger wildfires under state or federal jurisdiction, as well as donations. City fire departments may also have additional city general revenue sources, such as sales tax, that can be utilized. However, the low density characteristics of rural areas can prevent challenges and can have a significant effect on typical district funding sources. These challenges can also often lead to inadequate budgets in which fire departments must rely on volunteers and may forego necessary equipment and facility upgrades. A lot of districts in the county do not have these parcel taxes or special assessments present, or districts that do have these special assessments have not had their assessments adjusted since their adoption, or others have been unsuccessful in recent ballot measures. For example, the Montague Fire Protection District and Fire Department's parcel taxes have not been changed since their adoption in 1976, and the McLeod Community Services District's parcel tax failed when it went on the ballot in recent years. We also wanted to note that the ongoing special tax associated with County Service Area 3 plays an essential role in providing funding for medical supplies for member agencies. The CSA was established in 1974 and provides a source of funding for emergency medical equipment for member agencies located in the southern portion of the county. Districts outside of CSA 3 would benefit from a similar program or expansion of the program. But we did want to note that CSA 6, which promoted something similar, had been put on the ballot approximately 6 years ago and did not pass. Additionally, rates for workers' compensation, liability insurance have drastically increased in recent years and have placed financial strain on fire protection service providers with limited revenue sources. And lastly, based on discussions with fire agencies and staff members, we did note that there's a general lack of staff availability, staff skill sets, staff time available for grant writing. The county or another regional agency could support fire districts by providing grant writing services to fire districts to help them apply for those sources of funding. This next section will talk about the status of and opportunities for shared facilities that we wanted to highlight. So numerous fire departments have discussed consolidation or mergers in recent years. Some examples of those consolidations include the Hammond Ranch Fire Zone, City of Weed, the Fort Jones Fire Department with Aetna Fire Department, Lake Shasina Fire Department with Maiden Fire Protection District, and Mount Shasta Vista Fire Zone. There's also a number of examples of shared equipment or facilities in the county, some of those being the Weed Fire Department owning the training tower at the College of the Siskiyous. That's generally used by neighboring agencies and fire agencies across the county. Happy Camp Fire Protection District also shares its facilities with the Sheriff's Department in the area. And then the Doris Fire Department uses Pleasant Valley Fire Zone's equipment to respond to service calls in the area. This last section will talk about accountability for community service needs, in particular government structure and operational efficiencies. Something that we came across when we were doing research on these agencies was that a considerable number of them do not have or maintain current websites. That can present a challenge for getting easily accessible information to the public. In line with that, budgets and audits are also difficult to obtain from fire protection service providers, specifically those that are not fire districts. We did want to note that several districts in their interviews stated that the county was providing financial services such as budgeting and auditing. However, we later learned that the county does not provide these audit services. Some fire agencies did note that audits can be pricey and costly, which can deter agencies from completing them on a regular basis. Lastly, some districts have challenges recruiting board members, have board vacancies, or must appoint board members due to a lack of sufficient candidates for elections.
I just want to note that some of those key determinations are not specific to Siskiyou. Those, we see this thing statewide, and we've read about these same issues outside of California as well. Aging facilities, declining volunteerism, lack of funding, and outdated parcel taxes are not uncommon. So while there's a lot of information there to digest, those things are not necessarily uncommon. SOI recommendations, so key SOI recommendations. Starting with Grenada, so we have overlapping spheres of influence with neighboring districts and a small area located contiguous to the district that is not currently within any fire protection districts or service provider sphere of influence. So that's one of our recommendations to correct. Hornbrook, Lake Shasta, Tule Lake, Scott Valley, Mount Shasta, Dunsmuir. We're recommending expanding all of those spheres of influence to reflect their out-of-area responses. All of those changes, and even some of the other changes, pretty much all the changes to spheres of influence were based on our discussions with the chiefs about where they're responding to calls. So we reviewed perimeters of each district with each chief and learned about where they're responding to calls. We also, through the GIS mapping process, received call data and locations of calls, and the recommended spheres are based on those locations. City of Yreka, City of Weed, so we're recommending adopting fire-only spheres of influence for specific areas. Those agencies and the CSD as well provide different municipal services other than fire protection, So adopting a fire-only sphere of influence would limit the future provision of fire services to that area, while giving each agency capacity to provide the other municipal services that they already provide to the rest of their sphere of influence. Matin, Grenada, and Gazelle. So there's an intersection of these three districts near Interstate 5, where there's some overlaps. Some of them overlaps I-5 in different ways. And our recommendation in that area is to simplify dispatching using I-5 as a perimeter, an easily recognizable boundary that each of these districts can understand, rather than parcel lines, which you can't necessarily see if you're responding to a call.
I have a question on that, if I may.
We'll take comments afterwards.
Happy Camp. So Happy Camp responds to a very big area, a large area beyond their district's boundary. So our recommended sphere of influence reflects their call geography, and they have a membership group that pays into a membership fund. And both of those things were considered when developing Happy Camp's sphere of influence. City of Wairika, City of Weed, I think we already addressed that. So skipping to the next one, Montague FPD, Fire Protection District. I know that Montague coordinated closely with Rachel to develop their boundary. There were many calls, discussions, Zoom calls where we reviewed the FPD's sphere of influence. And so that was one of the few kind of team efforts where the district worked closely with LAFCO staff and Plan West to develop those SOI boundaries. And then South Wairika FPD, that was approved, that sphere of influence was approved in 2020, so we're not recommending any changes to that sphere of influence at this time. The next set of slides, this is where I mentioned that we have a slide on each fire protection each district, not just the FPDs. Every city, every fire protection district, the fire zones, each hose company. We have MSR determinations and recommendations, and I kind of want to get the feel of the board here to understand whether you want to go through each of those in detail or if you'd like to continue focusing on the key MSR determinations.
Which is the chair?
Yeah.
I would recommend we just do a brief glance at each slide and see if there's any questions, and if there's not, move on.
That was going to be my recommendation. Thank you.
Perfect. So I'll focus again on the sphere of influence recommendations. This is the Gazelle FPD. I think the important part to recognize here is at the top of the district. Can I stand up? Is that okay?
Yeah.
So two important areas to focus on. This is the overlap here with Grenada. Grenada's SOI is shown in yellow, and then South Wairika is shown in green, and they all sort of overlap in this area. And we'll look at it more on a slide focused on Grenada and the slide focused on South Wairika. But that is one area where the sphere of influence for Grenada is overlapping Gazelle's existing district boundary. And then the other focus area here is in this top right corner. You can see the dash line that follows I-5 across at kind of an angle. That's where I was recommending that's where I was mentioning that we are recommending changes to these three district boundaries to follow I-5. So using I-5 as an easily recognizable geographic boundary for dispatching and responding to calls. Slide.
Do we want to talk about the comment we received about that at this time, or did you have that later on?
We have a number of slides that address the comments and changes that we're making to that report. And then do you want to maybe skip over MSR determinations for each district? Is that okay? Or do you want
any questions about this one?
We can come back as well. Thank you.
A lot of these are going to be very similar because it's the same situation in most of the fire protection districts where they would benefit from additional funding. There's opportunities for consolidation, potentially with their neighbors. Lack of sufficient funds. That's pretty much what you're going to see across the board for these MSRs, for all of these districts. So,
that's the yellow border, the big pink, is the Gazelle Fire Protection District.
Yes.
Now, is that what it looks like now, or is that what's proposed?
Everything that's shown in pink is the existing district.
Okay.
The dash line, it's hard to tell, it's a little out of focus, but right. The dash line follows the boundary entirely except for this last corner here.
The corner up at the
top. Dash line follows I-5, and the solid line, the existing boundary, extends beyond I-5 there.
Okay. So, and that's the Grenada piece up at the top, correct?
Yeah, Grenada's district, my shadow here, if that's okay. Uh-huh. This yellow line
right.
extends into Gazelle's boundary here.
You can use that rolled up map if you want. Make it a little easier on you.
Pointer. Sorry, we don't have a laser.
It's okay. And I think the Grenada map also shows these different things. The May 10 map also shows these other things. So I see it a couple other times from different angles, different districts' perspectives.
So basically, there's not a huge change to Gazelle.
No.
Okay.
And, I mean, it sounds like we have the district here. They can probably characterize the population in these areas. I believe it's quite low. That's my understanding. So maybe we can, when we get to public comment, we can hear something about that.
Good question. The funding piece, the second bullet point, how does that work exactly?
So across the state, we see a lot of districts when they consolidate. So in areas like this, where there's low call volume, where you see, you know, kind of fragmented districts, a lot of different districts serving a large area, you'll see consolidation, and at the same time, you'll see them, sort of that consolidation will be contingent on voter approval of a tax measure.
That bullet point is tied to a consolidation.
That's one of the few tools that we have sort of to fund districts in a better way than the property tax base that have more.
Any other questions?
Like I mentioned, here's Grenada. So different perspective on these, just the intersection of the districts here. And then again, a different perspective on where the SOI overlaps with South Wairika. So those are the two key areas. South Wairika, like we mentioned, its SOI was updated in 2020. So this is fairly recent, representative of the district's current response area and call volume. You can see it in green at the top. It kind of follows this white area, comes down, and then it's contiguous with Grenada's western boundary. It cuts out over here. The geography in this area, this is a hillside. It doesn't make sense for South Wairika to respond to, I can point to that area, this area right here. And then South Wairika's boundary goes along the top of Gazelle here. So that's how Wairika's boundary is situated. Grenada's sphere follows this solid line. So across the top here, it goes straight down. This is all overlapping, thank you, that helps too. Overlapping South Wairika's current sphere of influence. And then this piece right here is overlapping Gazelle's existing district boundary. And from a LAFCO perspective, having two districts with spheres of influence that overlap the same area doesn't always make sense. Who is the future service provider of that area? That's sort of the perspective that we come at this from. Who's going to provide fire service in the future to this area once it's annexed into the district? And having two potential service providers, it creates problems down the line with who has, I don't want to say the right, the authority, to move into that area and annex that area and start servicing that area. So that's sort of the issue with overlapping spheres and overlapping district boundaries with SOIs. And then the other piece there, we can talk about that more, is this triangle. This is immediately north of the triangle that we just looked at that followed I-5, that's I-5 in the dash line. So our recommended boundary for Grenada, it excludes everything in South Guayrica's sphere of influence. It captures this area right here, and then it captures this area right here, which is currently in Maytén's existing district. So this would be, this again follows I-5. We think it makes more sense for dispatching and when you're in the field responding to calls to have a natural geographic boundary like I-5 to understand where the district starts and ends. So that's sort of the basis there. And then we have a small area at the top that I think is, doesn't have any overlaps or any issues like these other two.
Is there any consideration taken to response time or just instead of just what looks pretty on a map?
Yeah, I mean, this was also, we coordinated with each district on these discussions and we coordinated with the county at the time on where they're being, who's being dispatched to each area. So that was part of the conversation as well.
Not just,
yeah.
So within that, what I can't tell is like how many housing units or how many service that we would be doing. Can you get into in depth on that at all?
I can't.
Okay.
Off the top of my head, I can't.
So maybe piggybacking on Supervisor Ogden's comment about calls, do you have a list of calls? You know, what the call volume is for these areas?
I don't have specific call volumes for these
okay.
areas.
Okay. No. All right. And then you probably realize that whenever there's a call, anyways, there. They're not just dispatching one, they're dispatching multiple.
Right. Yep.
So it's not like they're not getting service.
Yes.
And then there are areas within the county, and I'm thinking of one, I don't know, Supervisor Ogden, if you were on the board when they wanted to pass a tax assessment out there in Hornbrook, which did not pass. So there's an unserved, there are unserviced areas in this county. Do you have a list of those areas by chance?
A lot. We have a lot of unserviced areas, and that's part some of our recommendations that we can go through.
Okay.
I know KRC is one of those big areas, I think, near Hornbrook that you mentioned, sort of between COPCO. It's sort of the middle of three districts. We'll look at the map.
Okay, thank you.
Next slide.
Yes, please. I think we already discussed all.
And then just some highlights for the determinations. Mentioned previously, the facility is undersized for the district's modern equipment. Issues with the facility's roof, and then there may be opportunities for consolidation with the Gazelle Fire Protection District, South Guayrica, City of Montague, as well as the City of Guayrica. And then just to note, the Grenada and Montague Fire Department do share fire chiefs. They also share a considerable number of volunteers, and that was part of that recommendation.
Can you go back one slide for a second? So the Grenada piece, if it's going to move to include all that section in the yellow.
Here?
To the left, to the west.
So this is the current SOI. We're recommending moving it back to their existing boundary.
Okay. So then who's going to take, is South Guayrica going to take everything?
Yeah, the green boundary, it's hard to see on here, but it follows this boundary here.
Okay.
And then it goes straight up there.
Okay.
And you can see where it diverges there. So all of this is in Guayrica's current SOI as it's adopted today.
Okay.
So it's already captured.
So then the yellow piece that's above that, Kilgore, let me look on this map.
That is Montague's.
So Deer Mountain to the west, Deer Mountain, Quail, Shamrock Road to the north. Go left.
Kilgore Hills.
Right here?
It's Kilgore Hills, right? Just a little further left.
This is Bowen Centers right here.
Right.
Here's Kilgore.
Just below that, whole section in yellow.
Yes.
That's currently the South Guayrica actual district right there in yellow.
Okay, so
So all of that's Wairika.
So all of that is South Wairika. I just get confused with the yellow boundary that's there.
So the current South Wairika boundary is in yellow right here, bordered by this kind of olive green.
Okay.
Their sphere of influence is this green, dark green boundary, which is covered up. And if you follow the mouse, this is their current boundary for their sphere of influence. So the potential exists for them to expand, to have this whole area here that's gray in their boundary, their actual district boundary, not just their sphere of influence. Currently, it's just their sphere of influence.
Okay.
So all that would be South Wairika.
Yeah.
Bernie's behind you.
Just a little historic perspective on the 2020 increase of South Wairika's district. It was not picked up on that it was Grenada's SOI. That's why there's overlap on there. Grenada had that, and when we went through the process, it wasn't recognized until this sphere of influence looked at it, and they were like, well, hey, now there's an overlap in there.
So now we're separating it back out again.
That's what's proposed.
Potentially. Okay.
Any other questions on this?
And we'll look at it again when we get to South Wairika as well.
And then Hilt Fire Hose Company, as mentioned earlier, doesn't have any SOI recommendations.
Through the chair, could you speak up a little more? Thank you.
The fire company's current facilities are expected to experience a change in ownership in the future, presenting uncertainty for the company's facilities. And then additionally, the company is reliant on donations and has little funding available for unforeseen expenditures.
And so for this particular district, it was the property is owned by fruit growers, and they have sold their land in Siskiyou County. It's been a couple years now, I think, and they haven't done anything major with their property up there. They're kind of checking out leases and stuff, so still uncertainty for this particular piece of property. Any questions? So this is one of the ones that does not have any sphere of influence because it's the host company and not a district.
All right, Hornbrook Fire Protection District. This is one of those large unincorporated areas that's underserved right now. So the existing district boundary is this area. The recommend and its sphere of influence is coterminous, so there is a it's a designated sphere of influence. It's coterminous with the district boundary. So the district boundary and the existing sphere of influence is the same today. Our recommended sphere of influence, and again, this was based on several things. Each of the districts, so you see Montague down here, you see Copco up there, Hilt is located up there. We reviewed each of those districts, we talked to each of those districts. This recommended boundary is based on the volunteer, the core of staffing that they have, the fact that Hornbrook has a year-round CAL FIRE station in this area that can respond to calls, and basically the district capacity for each of those districts. The recommended sphere of influence captures, I know there's a lot of homes in this area and there's a lot of call volume. We also looked at where each of these districts responds to calls. And not every call that they're dispatched to, they're actually responding to. So a district like Hornbrook that's responding to this area, even though Copco might, you know, these are right outside of Copco's boundary, they might be dispatched to those areas. Hornbrook is going into those as far as this boundary to respond to those calls because Copco doesn't necessarily have the capacity at all times to make those responses. So this is one of the bigger areas that we're recommending a large sphere of influence to capture a large populated area. I don't know if I can add any more details or if we have any questions. Any other questions about
large? Well, I think that just kind of points to what we're up against in this county. And, you know, I'm just going to go back to I was on the municipal service review back in 2006. They recommended consolidation back then. So what you're presenting sounds good in theory. I would argue that you shouldn't be expanding that boundary. You should be including Copco and Hill. That should be one district, if you will. There's lack of volunteers here. There's, you know, the calls. That unserved area, they tried to pass a tax measure, failed. You know, all these things are the things, the hurdles that we're going to be up against when it comes to that. So.
I know that they tried to start their own district at one point, too, in this mm-hmm. area. And
Black Mountain Fire, whatever it was. And again, you know, we have an aging population. People are reticent to try to pass a tax measure. You know, at the end of the day, who's paying for this? I mean, you talk about the funding. I mean, except for some of the bigger cities that have a larger budget, the small ones, I don't know how they hang on, to be honest with you.
So I want to also make clear as part of this that expanding the sphere of influence does not create a financial burden or an obligation. It's just creating the potential for the district to expand. And then there would have to be the funding that would come about that would be agreed to as part of that. However, the SOI just allows them to have the potential to say, yes, I do want to expand into my sphere of influence, because the first step for expanding and consolidating is having an up-to-date MSR and SOI. It has to be, I believe, 5 years old at the oldest before it can be utilized. And if it's older than that, you have to redo it. So make it up-to-date so that we know what's actually going on with this project. So I don't want you guys to think that we're, as part of this SOI, we're saying this is what is going to happen in the future. This is just the potential for what could happen in the future if everything else ends up lining up. Does that make sense?
So, give me just a second to formulate this question. You're saying that the sphere of influence is the potential to expand the district. But isn't the sphere of influence also their responsibility to respond once it's adopted?
No, not necessarily. It's where they currently are responding as it stands is how these boundaries came about. They could expand to areas that aren't in their sphere of influence, or if they don't have volunteers, they won't be able to respond to their sphere of influence. It just depends on the actual situation at the time that the call goes out. But think of the sphere of influence as an imaginary wall. They can't go beyond that wall if they want to expand. So we want to make sure that wall is as far away as their district could possibly be based off of what this MSR, you know, the conclusions and the findings that came about with it. So for this particular district, they respond to this area regularly. They only have about 3 or 4 volunteers at this point. So
yeah.
It's pretty impressive that they are able to do this. However, this area, should they get their financial ducks in a row and get more volunteers, they do have the potential to expand to this area because at times they already are serving this area. Kako is a little bit different because there's, you know, situation going on there with the dams being removed. So it's a little bit more uncertain, and we'll get to that soon. But for this particular district, this is the potential of what we think they might be able to expand to at some point in the future.
Thank you.
So
go ahead.
Picking up on the boundary of the sphere of influence, so for consolidation to happen, the spheres of influence would need to be adjacent to one another or overlap.
So for consolidation to happen, you would want to have, and please correct me if I'm wrong, because honestly, we don't do this like ever. So book smarts, practical smarts right here. So so for example, if they wanted to consolidate with Copco, they would need to, they would not be able to consolidate unless they were adjacent to each other. And having that sphere of influence there would allow them to connect.
You'd also want mutual interest in consolidation. You'd want all the districts to be bought in. That would make the process much smoother. There's a number of, Rachel mentioned getting financial ducks in a row. Usually that's a negotiation with the county from the district perspective. If they were undergoing consolidation, they would negotiate with the county for a share of the property tax from that area if they annex this area, and then from the consolidation to sort of make the district financially feasible. If that wasn't a possibility, if the county wasn't interested in negotiating property tax share, that is the path where they go down the special parcel tax and a voter approval, and the consolidation would be contingent on that approval. There'd also be a plan for service, basically outline, sort of like a business plan about how these districts would come together, what their board would look like, who would manage it, how they'd respond to calls, how they would operate, and then there would be a financial feasibility study as well, and we do these all over the place throughout California. I usually would do a 10-year financial forecast to determine whether that district is financially feasible to operate over a long term. So a number of different.
I have one more question about consolidation. So like using this example, so if COPCO and Hornbrook consolidate, could they have two portions of the district that were non-contiguous and a sphere of influence in between them, considering that's kind of a big gap in between them?
Do you have an answer to that?
I don't have the answer to that. I've seen districts that have non-contiguous boundaries, but it might be, I don't know the history of it.
It's fine, I don't need to go into the weeds.
So along that line, would it make more sense for a city to have a wider sphere of influence than just within the city boundaries, so that if there were annexation outside of a city boundary, if they were going to bring in property from, say, unincorporated areas, that sphere of influence would incorporate that area as well, so that we didn't have to try to figure this out later?
So most of the cities in the county actually do have, well, I can't say most, about half of them do have sphere of influences that are not coterminous with their city boundaries. So Yreka, for example, it goes out in all sorts of different directions. And it does have to be within their sphere of influence in order to annex them. So if there was a piece of property that was near a city that needed or wanted to be annexed into the city and it wasn't in the sphere of influence, we would have to do an MSR SOI for that city first to incorporate that property into the sphere of influence, and then they could proceed with the annexation.
Good to know. Thanks.
Cities are like a lot more complicated because of all the different municipal services that they provide. And then like back to an earlier question about call volume and where they're responding to, these districts all have automatic aid or mutual aid mm-hmm. contracts with the county. So going into these areas to respond to calls, they're doing it under those existing contracts. So I just wanted to mention that as well.
Any other questions? All right,
Lake Shastina. So like a city, Lake Shastina is providing different municipal services to within the district boundary. That's why we're recommending a fire-only sphere of influence here, expanding just the district's capacity to respond to fire calls. So the existing district boundary, and the existing SOI are coterminous again. Same district boundary, same SOI. And then our recommendation is shown in orange. It's capturing a large area, 53 square miles. It doesn't overlap, but it intertwines with the Mount Shasta Vista fire zone up here.
And just to highlight, the fire department's currently developing a new apparatus bay, which will include offices, sleeping quarters, training facilities, and also the department currently responds to the Mount Shasta Vista fire zone per a contractual agreement.
All right, May 10. So again, we're back to the intersection of these three districts and the I-5. So there's a recommended change there. May 10's existing boundary is shown with the red background and a red boundary. That's both the district boundary and the sphere of influence, so they're the same boundary with May 10. Our recommendations here are similar to Gazelle and Grenada. We are recommending changing the May 10 sphere of influence to align with Interstate 5 and follow that I-5 as the boundary. So May 10, this piece right here, this triangle, would be cut off from May 10 and added to Grenada's sphere. And then this piece right here, which is currently in Gazelle's district and sphere, would be cut off from Gazelle and added to Grenada's, or sorry, to Mayton's sphere. So those are the kind of how we recommend the alignment of that boundary.
Mm-hmm. And then the district currently has limited staffing capacity and experiences some challenges responding to out-of-district calls due to a lack of available staff members.
What was the little square in the lower right-hand corner? I'm sorry, I missed that.
This right here?
Yeah.
That is part of Lake Chestina. I believe it might be their water system of some sort.
Okay.
And so they just have this little outlier where it's in their district, but it's a little bit separate.
Thank you.
City of Montague, this is one of the cities that has a designated sphere of influence. So the city's existing boundary is shown in the red, the dark red boundary, and then the city's existing sphere of influence is shown with the orange line. We don't have any recommendations to City of Montague's sphere of influence. City of Montague is surrounded entirely by, from a fire perspective, it's surrounded entirely by Montague Fire Protection District. So. I don't believe there's any islands or anything like that between the city's SOI and the Fire Protection District's existing boundary.
And then mentioned previously, the department's special assessment hasn't been updated since its adoption in 1976. And then also mentioned there may be opportunities for consolidation given that Grenada and Montague currently share fire chief as well as staff members.
All right, Montague Fire Protection District. You can see City of Montague here in the middle. So that's what I was mentioning about the city's sphere of influence being entirely surrounded by the Fire Protection District. In this case, Montague FPD worked very closely with LAFCO and LAFCO staff and PlanWest, the sub-consultant that helped with the GIS mapping, to define these boundaries. This extends on the top side. It doesn't show it here, but you can see Hornbrook's district boundary there, and Hornbrook's recommended sphere of influence captures this unincorporated area. So this is based on how far Montague responds to calls outside of their existing district into that unincorporated area. So that's the recommended sphere for Montague FPD.
Montague Fire Department currently contracts with the FPD to provide fire protection services to the entirety of the district service area. And with that being said, the district also contributes all of its assets to the City of Montague.
All right. Fire zones. I think technically the sphere of influence for the fire zones is the entire county, excluding any districts, so they don't have a sphere of influence. It's just the existing boundary, so we'll just have MSR determinations for these areas as well.
And currently, the Mount Shasta Vista Volunteer Fire Company doesn't have the volunteer capacity to respond to this service area, so it depends on Lake Chestina Community Services District for those fire services. The CSD has access to the fire zone's fire station, as well as its apparatus inventory to respond to those calls for service.
South Wairika FPD, these are the SOI boundaries. We've already sort of discussed this with Grenada and Gazelle, but this is the whole boundary now shown. So the existing boundary from 2020, shown in the dark or the orange, captures all of these areas. And then again, this is the area where there's an overlap with Grenada FPD's sphere of influence, and that's. There's no recommended changes because it was recently updated for this district.
And so in conversations with district staff, the current facilities are undersized for the district. The district's also in the process of expanding its facilities to accommodate these needs. And this is the first first one where it comes up, but one disadvantage unincorporated community is in the northeastern portion of the district's SOI. At the end of this region, we do have a regional disadvantaged unincorporated community map, which will show each one of those ducks.
And the reason we mention, we call them ducks, disadvantaged unincorporated communities, is that it's required by state law, the act that we mentioned in the beginning, CKH. When there's an annexation, you're required to look at disadvantaged unincorporated communities. There's sort of a formula to figure out how that's defined. It's based on the income of the area, income of the population living in the area, and that becomes a consideration when annexations are made. And the intent is for districts to not to prevent districts from avoiding disadvantaged areas when they're forming a new district boundary. So they can't carve out an unincorporated area that has low income just when they're creating the district boundary. So that's kind of the intent. That's why we discuss it. It's required by state law to talk about it. And we'll show you a map of all the districts at the end here. So City of Yreka, we have a designated sphere of influence shown in orange. It's kind of popping out in different directions from the city's existing boundary. And then from review of the city's existing call and response areas, the recommended SOI is shown in the dashed line, so it extends up this way. There are some islands, I would characterize them as islands, or small areas that are unincorporated in between districts that are not captured in a sphere of influence. So we did make some recommendations on that side to very small areas.
And then for MSR determinations, one notable finding was that the department recently obtained a planning grant to begin the development of a new fire hall to accommodate the needs of the department. And then again, a duck was located within the city's SOI boundary.
So
yeah.
That engineer hired, right?
Yes. And then this is a map
just a point of clarification, the city does have that person hired. They do have somebody hired to do that work.
The
planning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then this is the regional duck map. It's a little difficult to see, but you can see one of those communities located there in the center there, and then off in the western portion. And the details of those communities are detailed in the report.
I'm sorry. Can we go back to the Yreka map? So on the east side of town, those blocks, that east side.
Oh, sorry.
Your other right.
Yeah.
Right there. Uh-huh. So if there is no SOI right there, if there were an annexation there, what would happen?
They'd have to make it part of their sphere of influence before annexing.
So why is there not an SOI there?
So we actually have been doing city MSR and SOIs every 5 years. Last one took a little bit longer because of COVID, but when we do those, the cities are asked to provide input, and at this point they have not requested that their SOI be expanded. So if they don't request it and we don't see an anticipated annexation in the next 5 years, we wouldn't propose a modification. However, as I mentioned at our last meeting, that MSR SOI, we're going to have to get under contract in the next year or two for the next round. So that's something that we could potentially do, is take a closer look at these orders and see if they need to be modified. Current staff in LAFCO came in midstream on that project, and it was pretty much finalized by the time it got to me. So I didn't take as close of a look as I'm doing it as I am with this project. So next round we can do a good close examination on those SOIs.
Okay, thanks.
Maybe pare some of them down too.
All right, Butte Valley Fire Protection District. So the district here has a coterminous SOI. The existing district's boundary is the same as its sphere of influence. we're not recommending any expansion of the Butte Valley sphere of influence at this time.
The district does have limited staff capacity to respond for calls for service. They've also not applied for any grant funding in over a decade due to a lack of personnel with experience and available staff time.
Popco Lake, coterminous SOI, the district boundary is the same as the sphere of influence again. And given the volunteerism in the district, these sort of uncertain future with the dams and that, we don't have any recommendations for this SOI. We just kind of monitor that going forward.
The question about the coterminous SOI, is that by statute or that's just the way it is?
Yeah, that's just the terminology that's used when the boundary of a district is the same as the sphere of influence.
And I mentioned previously, those dam removals will result in temporary population increase in COPCO's service area. I know that some of those have taken place, and I believe a couple have been completed.
Back to the coterminous question, and I'll address it here as well. There's kind of like three different options that you can, I mean, technically there's four, but you could have a coterminous boundary that is where the boundary of the district where they currently provide service is the same as their sphere of influence. You're kind of saying this district is right size for what they're providing, right, and we don't see any future changes. The expanded SOIs, where we're recommending bigger SOIs, are where we see areas that these districts are already responding to calls, and we're kind of saying this district has capacity where they're already in the act of providing service to a bigger area. We think their future service boundary today, we think it should be bigger. And then there's negative spheres or sphere reductions, where if you see a district, and some of those I guess you could define where we're kind of cutting off pieces of a district boundary. You're saying that this district is providing this service to this area, but we don't think they have the capacity, or we think that there might be something else that makes more sense. So you can recommend and adopt a smaller sphere. And then there's the fourth option, I guess, would be a zero sphere, where you see a district that is not capable of providing service, and that's sort of recommending future dissolution of that district. Sorry, sidebar.
So I have a question about COPCO and that determination about the population increase. Where did that information come from? How was that determined?
I think that was in a discussion with COPCO staff. They were seeing an increase in population. I think it was directly related to disassembly of the dams. Dams.
But that's...
It's temporary, yeah.
Temporary and going to be done soon, so
yeah,
has no bearing on the future.
That's true, yes.
Yeah.
So, you know, this project has been going on for quite some time, and it was probably 2 years ago that they were interviewed.
Right.
So we're at the point now that the project is pretty much over, but yeah. 2 years ago it was... still very much in the, you know, beginning stages of taking those dams down.
It's a decrease.
Yeah.
It really should be.
Yeah.
Yeah, the increase in population.
The end result.
And then the decrease.
Definitely a temporary increase, which has no bearing on the final result of this report.
Right. So City of Doris, coterminous SOI, and you can see the boundary of the city is the same as the sphere of influence, and we're not recommending any changes to that sphere of influence.
The Doris Fire Department does respond to the Pleasant Valley Fire Zone, uses the fire zone's facilities and apparatus equipment when responding to calls for service in that area. We noted that there might be opportunities for consolidation with the fire zone in addition to the Butte Valley Fire Protection District, given Butte Valley's low volunteer status.
And then Pleasant Valley does not have a sphere of influence, so this is another fire zone. No sphere of influence for fire zones.
And same thing, Doris primary fire protection service provider. I believe it was Doris staff who noted that the fire zone's apparatus equipment has reached the end of its life cycle and it would benefit from an upgrade.
Tenant SOI, this is one of the most remote, maybe tied with Happy Camp. one of the more remote areas that we discussed fire services. This is the existing boundary, and the sphere of influence is coterminous, and we're not recommending any changes to this district.
Currently, tenant relies on CAL FIRE to receive fire protection services. It's recommended that the CSD's resources be reconsidered for reorganization to ensure the efficient delivery of fire protection services in the area. We also want to note that the CSD has not completed any audits in the last several years and does not have those publicly available.
Tule Lake Fire Protection District. So the existing...
There's no liking to you.
Question or no? Okay. So the existing district, and this is an interesting district because it crosses county boundaries here, kind of in the middle. So this part is in Siskiyou County. We have a coterminous SOI at the moment that follows the red boundary. The recommended sphere of influence here was based on the district's response to out-of-district calls.
And there weren't any significant determinations made in relation to Tule Lake.
All right, City of Etna, so we have designated sphere of influence. So the existing city boundary shown in red with the red boundary. The designated sphere of influence follows the orange boundary here. No recommendations at this time for Etna.
The current facility lacks sufficient space for the department's modern equipment. We know that there might be opportunities for consolidation with the Town of Fort Jones Fire Department, Scott Valley Fire Protection District, given their close proximity to one another. There's also one deck located within the city's SOI boundary.
Happy Camp, so you can see the district here in red. Happy Camp does have a designated sphere of influence that's shown in the solid orange. It's really hard to see on this map, but it kind of follows that general area. It doesn't expand much further beyond the district's existing boundary. And then we are recommending a pretty expansive sphere of influence here based on their call volume, the distance that they told us that they travel to respond to calls. This is a very remote area. There's not a lot of districts that go out into this area. Happy Camp is one of them. And then this is also, we note the membership area. This was also based on where they're receiving funds from their membership area.
And then in conversations with district staff, they did note that the 2020 Slater fire had destroyed over 200 homes in the service area. When asked, if they expected residents to rebuild or relocate, they did state that most residents affected by the fire had relocated. And the district's current facility would also benefit from improvements to its roof. And lastly, three ducts were identified in the district's SOI.
Klamath River Fire Company, this is a volunteer district. I shouldn't call it a district. It's a volunteer host company, a fire company. They do not have a sphere of influence. So until they become an actual district, they will not have a sphere. This is a rough... The rough boundary for the host companies, the fire companies, the volunteer companies, we're showing a rough district boundary, or I don't know if it can call it district boundary. It's a rough boundary based on where they're currently providing services. So it's sort of, I don't know, reminiscent of a sphere of influence without being official.
They also noted that a recent fire in 2022 had destroyed over 100 homes in the area, and they do expect residents to rebuild.
Another volunteer district, the Salmon River Volunteer Fire and Rescue Company. Again, this almost connects to the Happy Camp sphere of influence that we saw in a few slides back. But this is a rough estimate of their boundary at this time, where they're responding to calls.
And in conversations with company staff, they did note that workers' compensation liability insurance has had steep increases in recent years. And that was putting a big strain on the company's fiscal health. They've also been unable to apply for grants in recent years due to limited staff experience and capacity.
Scott Valley Fire Protection District. So the existing boundary and the existing sphere of influence are coterminous again. And we're showing that with the red boundary here. The recommended sphere of influence captures, I would characterize these as like very, very remote, pretty remote areas, not a lot of population in these areas, but it is representative of where they're responding to calls. When there is a call made into one of these areas in our recommended sphere of influence, they are the nearest resource that's responding to those areas.
So the recommended sphere of influence that you have, it goes into public land, basically? Is that sort of how you determine the boundary?
It kind of comes up to the edge of public land. Those public lands are state responsibility areas, is my understanding. So there's no local response. It's responsible for those areas.
Those are federal responsibilities.
And this proposed sphere of influence was based off of the watershed boundary, which is, I haven't done a side-by-side comparison, but it's basically the same boundary as the Scott Valley area plan. Okay. So that was how it was come up with, and plus the fact that there's no other fire district out there to respond.
CAL FIRE has no responsibility out there for response?
We respond to wildland fires in that area. That's our responsibility. Any wildland fire within the district that's not LR within local responsibility, all the way to the federal and state border, which some of those lands overlap. We protect some of their lands, just like down in Happy Camp, we protect some private lands.
But no medical.
We're not required to, but we do respond to automatic and mutual aid to medical traffic, basically any call, as long as we have resources there.
Thank you.
And then district staff did note that their current facilities were obtained through informal agreements established in the 60s and the 80s. They did note that they have experienced issues being forced to vacate its premises, which have occurred on 3 occasions to date. And then one duck was located west of the district's SOI boundary.
Syab Valley Fire Company, another volunteer district. So there aren't any, there's no sphere of influence. This is a rough boundary based on where they're responding with calls.
And then in addition, no significant determinations were made in relation to the Syab Valley Fire Company.
And then town of Fort Jones, designated sphere of influence. We don't have any recommendations for this area for the sphere of influence.
Department staff did note that they are looking to build an additional fire station to accommodate potential future growth of the department.
And then this is the disadvantaged unincorporated community map. You can see around Happy Camp here, this is the duck that we're looking at in the area. So Dunsmuir, Castella Fire Department, SOI recommendations, focusing on Dunsmuir here. A designated sphere of influence, so the existing boundary shown in red, the designated city sphere of influence goes down to the county border and then captures some unincorporated areas in the north and the east. We're not recommending any changes to that sphere of influence at this time.
And the department noted that they are looking to acquire a new station to replace its primary facility due to a lack of sufficient space and a deteriorating floor. This is another instance in which the department's special assessment has not been updated since the early 1990s. And we also identified three disadvantaged unincorporated communities located contiguous to the city's boundary.
Dunsmuir Fire Protection District, a designated sphere of influence. So the existing boundary is shown in red. The recommendation here is to expand the sphere of influence to reflect the dashed orange line. That was based on conversations with the district and where they're responding to service calls outside of their district boundary.
And then no significant MSR determinations were made in relation to the Dunsmuir Fire Protection District.
Hammond Ranch doesn't have a sphere. This is a fire zone, does not have a sphere of influence.
The fire zone did note that they're unable to invest in new equipment due to a lack of budget. There may be opportunities for consolidation with the city of Weed, given their close proximity. And then we did identify one duck located in close proximity to the southern boundary of the fire zone.
The Cloud Community Services District, so designated sphere of influence. This is the district boundary here. It's really hard to tell on this map, but there are small pockets between the Cloud CSD and the fire zone that are sphere of influence, and then no recommendations to the sphere of influence at this time.
I would like to note that there actually is a sphere of influence to the north and to the south of the CSD that's not shown on this map. That was inadvertently left out on the data that was sent to the consultants. So there is, this is an incorrect map as far as the sphere of influence is, as it's shown.
And department staff did note that they are expecting increase in residential growth in the CSD over the next several years, and the current capacity of public facilities is expected to be sufficient to accommodate that growth. The McLeod Volunteer Fire Department is the primary fire protection service provider to the McLeod Fire Zone that surrounds it, and one duck was located west of the CSD in the McLeod Fire Zone.
And then McLeod Fire Zone does not have a sphere of influence, so this is the existing boundary, and without a sphere of influence, so we're not making any changes or recommendations at this time. City of Mount Shasta Fire Department, designated sphere of influence. So the existing city boundary shown in the red, the existing sphere of influence shown in orange, kind of weaves up here, goes to the top there, down here, and then a little bit on the east side there. No recommended changes to that sphere of influence at this time.
The department noted a lack of sufficient space for the department's growing apparatus inventory. The department's special assessment has also not been updated since 1994. Two ducks were located in close proximity to the city's boundary, as well as one additional.
All right, Mount Shasta Fire Protection District, designated sphere of influence. So you can see the existing district boundary shown in red again. The existing sphere of influence is shown in orange. And then the recommended sphere extends in the dashed orange boundary. So we're recommending expanding this SOI by approximately 22 square miles.
Similar determinations, the primary station lacks sufficient space for the district's future growth, and there are four ducks located within the district's SOI.
City of Weed, this one's interesting because it overlaps Hammond Ranch Fire Zone. Hammond Ranch's fire zone is shown in the yellow area. So the existing City of Weed is shown in red. The City of Weed's sphere of influence is a solid orange line that comes into Hammond Ranch Fire Zone and captures this part of Hammond Ranch Fire Zone. And then the existing boundary does go out this direction as well, so it's sort of a big box with a corner here piece. Our recommendation here is that the SOI, basically future provision of fire service for the City of Weed, be limited to areas outside of Hammond Ranch Fire Zone, because that area is already receiving fire services from Hammond Ranch.
As far as determinations, recent fires in the City of Weed had reduced housing inventory in the service area. Again, that was at the time of the agency interview. The department did note challenges with facility maintenance due to the size of its capital outlay budget. And then one disadvantage, unincorporated community was located contiguous to the city's boundary. And that's the region of duck map, sort of concentrated in the southern portion.
So we have a series of slides here at the end that are different updates that we've amended some of the text in the MSR based on feedback from LAFCO staff, from the public, and then from our final review. So we would ask that any of these changes, if these SOI recommendations and MSR determinations are adopted today, we would ask that these be reflected in the final MSR. So we just want to run through these to make sure. Some of them, a lot of them, I would say, are sort of administrative in nature. They're corrections to numbers that were incorrect. But there might have been a couple that are sort of substantive. So I'll kind of go through these relatively quickly. Lake Shastina had the incorrect square mileage. So this on each of these slides, the bottom part is just a snapshot of the red line of the document. So that's what we're proposing to change in the final MSR. That's what the final MSR will show. So the city of Montague, so we had an incorrect language here. We're recommending that LAFCO expand Montague FPD's SOI. So we've revised that language here. This just adds Gazelle Fire Protection District to this sentence for an opportunity for consolidation with Grenada Fire Protection District. This is a change to a label on a table at the top. We changed it from engine typing standards to engine type standards, and then we added the source for that information to the bottom. So pretty administrative, straightforward. We changed the date based on feedback from Gazelle Fire Protection District, the date that the district was established. There was some changes to this paragraph based on feedback from the district about when they meet, about their board of directors, what they're planning to do with their website, and then how they utilize social media. I would also say some of these things, the feedback that we get from districts is not uncommon. We do see this in other communities near the end of a MSR process like this. Again, some changes to how training is provided by Gazelle FPD here. And then this is the text above, I think it's above or below this text in the report. There's an apparatus inventory. The way that we approach these reports in general is that if we have one public source, in this case, the fire annual report that the county prepares, if we have one public source that we can pull information for all the districts from, we're going to represent that information in the tables. And then any other information that's provided from the district, sometimes it's population or housing. In this case, it was an update to their apparatus inventory. We write that in the narrative. So we note that the district staff, their apparatus inventory varies from the county fire annual report. But we want to show the fire annual report as sort of, it was a snapshot in time. This is what was reported. This is what all the districts had. But there is a narrative in the text that describes how the district would update that, essentially. Incorrect reference to figure 49. This is minor change here. There's a couple like this. Same change to figure 62. The hose companies, we went back and confirmed, we made this MSR uniform with the county annual fire report and how they refer to each of the volunteer districts. So in this case, Klamath River Fire Company was updated. Sayan Valley Fire Company was updated. We had a typo here. I don't have what was deleted, it looks like, but just noting that volunteers experienced difficulty attending training sessions. This previously, I believe it said Dunsmuir Castella, so we changed that to City of Dunsmuir because the demographic profile did not include any population or housing outside of the county's boundary. City of Dunsmuir, we just had changes to the way this sentence was formulated here. Dunsmuir FPD's map in the report was it wasn't showing the recommended sphere of influence. It was showing the recommended sphere of influence as a current sphere of influence. So we changed the symbology on the map from a solid yellow or orange line to a dashed orange line to indicate that that's the recommended sphere of influence. And then this was there was a reference error in this is just a word problem that we deleted from the end of this paragraph. Figure 185, I think this was showing the wrong, it was either showing demographic data or incorrect response, a five-year incident table. So that's been updated for Cannon Ridge. This previously said CSA number 4 is current SOI and extent, and that was changed to fire McLeod Fire Zone's current response area. And that's the conclusion there. Open to questions, and then I'll hand it back to staff for the next step in the procedure.
Would we like to take a break at this point and then move on afterwards? All right.
Should we take 10 minutes? Is that good for you, Jim?
Sure.
Okay, 10 minutes.